My name is Rick Recking, and that's spelled with R's. The waters with which I danced. The early morning pond reflected a newly crescent moon waxing in the still humid air as I stood transfixed before its mirror to the sky. The overhanging branches, the electric lines. A tiny spark, a bubble emerged from the water's depth, and from it, slow, soft, concentric waves emanated towards me and away. Too minimal to disturb the reflection, the waves were absorbed near me by a thirsty, grassy shore. On the far side, the echo met a reflected electric line as a shock of tadpoles arose to dance down it in syncopation. A second line, and then a third, hosted dancers of their own. In a moment, the party quieted, while in another, a tiny bubble surfaced. The universal solvent will, given time, remove whatever it touches. Continents arise while the ocean's waves waltz with them, eroding their best efforts with metronomic precision. Glaciers, scraping, marching, stomping, icy fandango footprints of great lakes and mighty rivers before their music retreats in time. The islands of Hawaii, thunderous steaming volcanoes all, drifting aloha, dancing hula into the sandy atolls of the Pacific oblivion. A couple thousand feet down the rim of the Grand Canyon, closer to the do-si-do of the tumbling Colorado, lies the great unconformity. A million gazillion years of Earth's history is missing, the ages-long accretion of an unnamed ocean gone, whisked from the dance by an insistent partner, Sirius Vishnu Schist. Fresh waters are but diamonds, swept, wheeling, and precious into the air we breathe, raining life from oceans onto land, leaving rivers, lakes, and mudhole tadpoles rock and rolling on an otherwise empty dance floor. The Gulf Stream washes from the Caribbean across the North Atlantic, bringing temperate climate and rain to most of Europe. Long thought driven by the westerly wind that made sailing east faster, we now know it's only a segment of deep serpentine rivers coursing the continental shelves, driven not by the wind, but by the spin of the Earth in its continuing orbit, hand in hand with lunar rhythms. I envision living planets with water, moving, shaping, vitalizing, destroying that with which it dances, me, tadpoles, or time in ceaseless motion. Now I've got something with which I scandalize this group. The fiction of the fly. After unsuccessfully shopping local department stores, I went online seeking plain white boxer shorts. They're not easily found in today's market. Finally, I found Boxtercraft. Boxtercraft used generous quality cloth, no skinny legs, with a design that includes a broad elasticized waistband and hem, and includes a distinctive fly on the underwear front. They're made of a heavyweight cotton with a durable elastic and double stitch all around, even at the fly. But I don't have to worry about the fly because I never use one. Do men even use the fly in their underwear? I had a long conversation on this subject 3 years ago with women attending the Texas Memorial Service for the Outlaw. Do you remember him? Those women were under the impression that most men use the fly, but let me tell you, and I'll let you discuss this on your way home, and I'm guessing about the other men at the table that we do not. It's a much easier fit, may I say, as I release myself from under the briefs or shorts, than to negotiate through dexterity, the facility to remove a large, am I right, guys, part of the male anatomy through a light fly, when it's so much easier to quickly reach under and release the appendage to wave toward a urinal or a toilet. But I digress. Boxter Craft is, as I said, a double stitch at the fly. It is underwear that is designed to appear as if it had a fly, but it does not. There is no fly. Boxter Craft dispensed with the fly fiction, and it's the boxer short for me.